photographic tour of the Southern Patrol with Harry Cooper and Shark Hunters. Picture number 16. Now, please don't go ahead. Stay with us.
Let me interrupt for a second here.
Yeah.
You're not the only guy that'll buy a big book. While we were on break, I got an email from Leslie Regier, our member number 7914, and she said, I'd buy an 1,100-page book by Holdeen.
You betcha.
Maybe we can find a way to break it into three volumes or something like that. But anyhow, thanks, Leslie. Always good to hear from you. She was with us on our tour in 2019.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Number 16. Reverend Scott says, where's Harry taking us today that we're not supposed to go? You know, we got up the back stairway there at the Hofbrauhaus. Here we are at the Congress Hall, Congressahalle. This was supposed to be the seat of government, and it was huge. It's built like the Colosseum, but you could take the Colosseum and stick it into the courtyard of this place. It's huge. And so here Scott is walking around the outer balcony at whatever. Click to number 17.
Look at the granite. Look at the construction on that.
Yeah, it's awesome. But this is all fascia. It was built out of whatever, but it's now fascia. Greg Galinsky just popped in. I guess he'd buy a 1,100-page book, too.
You betcha.
We've got
to get this.
Greg,
I'd like to see it in one book. We don't need to break it up. If we can,
put
1,100 pages in a book, I'm sure. Well, maybe not. It doesn't matter. Let's get it done. We'll work on it.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, the next one is sad. Number 18, this is the inner courtyard, looking straight back at that one door.
We missed 17. Hold on.
Say again?
We missed 17.
No, we talked about 17. I said this is all the granite fascia because it's built out of bricks, but this is all fascia.
Got it. Okay. Look at the curve on that. This is a really brilliant design. I love that design.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And
now we're in the
number
courtyard.
Number 18. Yeah, in the courtyard. Toward the end of the war, this was used as a field hospital by the German military, the Wehrmacht. And when Germany surrendered, the U.S. Army took this over, and they went through, and there were, I don't know how many, but a whole lot of wounded German soldiers in there. And they found 17 of them that were Waffen-SS. They dragged them out of their beds, threw them out in the courtyard, and shot them all dead. Not one of the more proud moments.
Between 1945 and 1953, approximately 15 million German civilians were murdered, killed, starved to death, poisoned, removed. It was the heart of nationalist Germany, many say. They were all destroyed between 1945 and 1953.
Yeah.
It's hidden. It was a Holocaust, and it happened. And that's the truth.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's a topic for another time. Because we got 60-something photos to go through, and we're only on number 19. You look at 19, 20, and 21, you'll see what the Congress Hall was. And remember, it was supposed to have a huge glass dome over it when it was done, but construction had to be halted in mid-war because they needed the material and the people elsewhere. It's one hell of a gorgeous building. And right across that mini lake there is the party rally grounds, which we'll get to in a moment. There, look at number 20. Beautiful.
Which city
place
is this in again?
This is in Nuremberg.
Still, all right. We're in Nuremberg.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're in Nuremberg for about 4 or 5 days. Then
what
we
a
go
beautiful
over to
site.
The,
look, hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it is, and it's
number 20. Look at number 20B or 21. Look at that. Gorgeous, and it should be finished. Germany, if it were smart, which it isn't anymore. unfortunately, not the government.
They're using a couple of the rooms. I think the Nuremberger Philharmonic Orchestra is using some of the, but, you know, most of it is just sitting, going nowhere, doing nothing.
It's a
nothing.
Perfect place for outdoor concerts at night. Look at that.
Could yeah, be used that's kind of what they had in mind.
And look at the exterior, Roman Colosseum. You mm-hmm. betcha. Wow. All right. Fascinating.
Now we're at 22, or 20 Charlie, with Hitler standing on the podium, this back during the early days. Look at all the people. And then people had to pay to be there, which is one of the two ways Hitler made all his money. He was not wealthy in the early days, but everybody who came to his rallies had to pay to be there. That plus the sale of his book, Mein Kampf, is what put money in his wallet. And Mein Kampf is the second best-selling book ever in history, second only to the Holy Bible.
That's worldwide. That's true.
Yeah.
Now, those are not all soldiers, understand. They're not all military. They're
right.
people.
Right,
those are people.
Right.
And they came to
they
see this
to
man.
They paid to come in there and listen.
Yeah.
And then you look at number 23, or 20 David. This is the Cathedral of Lights, it was called. You'll see a picture of the base in a minute or two. At a certain moment at night during these rallies, all these searchlights were turned on, and they met at some point way up high, whatever, 2 million feet in the air, I don't know, wherever, and formed kind of like a dome of lights. And there's all the people in there.
There are a lot of them in uniform in this one. This is later. But they had events there
right.
often. Huge events. These were world firsts. They didn't have enormous events like this before.
That's
not
for
like
sure.
this. The Germans had a real understanding of drama, of impact, of texture, and what they promoted and how they did it was truly Wagnerian. It was huge.
Yeah. Fantastic. And then you go to number 24, or 21, however Norberto
24
numbered them, yeah. And there you see Hitler making a speech, and behind him are the important people of the Reich. The more important you are, the closer you are to Hitler, the less important you are, the more you're spread out along the tribunal there. And it's just incredible. You go to number 25.
Before we jump ahead completely, understand that where all those people are, that was for
yeah.
Zeppelins. That was called Zeppelin Field.
Yep.
And I guess they'd land the big Zeppelins in there. It was a huge, huge place.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see that many people there. Rained with flags.
Hundreds
seen that
of thousands
like that
of
here?
People there.
Yes. And you don't see anybody going to the bathroom either. That's the interesting part.
Well, that comes up in a minute. Here, the number 25, where it says 23 Sopat Zeppelinfeld. I'm standing there with the camera by the door that only Hitler could use, way up at the top. And it was uh-huh. designed this way because he'd come out fashionably late and everybody would be waiting and on pins and needles. And when the door opened, they'd all go berserk. And he'd come down the stairway, which was to symbolize as if he was coming down from the heavens. And then he goes up those four stairs to the little podium, and it was to simulate him walking into the middle of the people. It was all very well thought out.
Staged. I'm telling you, this is Wagnerian in its scope.
Yeah, amen. So then we look at the next one, number 26, or 22 Baker. That is the stadium, and you'll see that doorway up at the top. That was the door that only Hitler could use. That was the one he came out, and it would come down the stairs and then up the four stairs to the speaker's platform.
Now there it is, right in the
about,
center. You can see
right.
it. There's the railing.
This then
is a, just a, this. Think of the vision that these people had. It's just extraordinary.
I will when I'm done. Sorry. Okay, so the next one, 27 of 63. See those structures? Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay, those structures. On top of those structures were those floodlights that made the Cathedral of Lights. But when you got hundreds of thousands of people drinking gallons and gallons of beer, that's where they had to go and relieve themselves. The whole field was ringed with these structures. They were bathrooms.
Got it. So this is around the back of what Hitler would be looking at, where the spotlights were. They were on the roofs of these things.
Down both sides and across the back.
Mm-hmm. Got it. These are concrete buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
What an incredible
edifice. I don't know if they're used for anything.
Incredible, the size of this, the scope. We have football fields and football stadiums. This is, you know, this is in the 1930s.
Yep. Much bigger. Okay, so now we're leaving Nuremberg, and we're going to an area kind of north of Nuremberg for photo number 28 of 63. And you look around, see if maybe you see Tom Cruise there. This was the von Stauffenberg ancestral home. Klaus, the colonel who put the, you know, the one-eyed, one-armed colonel who put the bomb under Hitler's table, this was not his home. This was his uncle's. But because the Gestapo cast such a wide net, his uncle was tortured and tortured and tortured, and the palace, the whatever this place is, the fortress, it was seized. The children were taken away and put in with foster parents. And von Stauffenberg himself, you know, he got shot. But after the war, after everything settled down, the von Stauffenberg family got this castle back. And von Stauffenberg's widow lived until she was in her mid-90s. And the caretaker we talked to said that she went through 6 packs of cigarettes a day. And you could always find her, just look for a cloud of smoke, and she was in it.
Wow.
We didn't take a whole lot of photos there because the battery on my camera was fizzled. But they've got the largest collection of weapons in Europe that is in private hands. When the Allies took over, they got thousands and thousands of rifles and guns and swords from ancient times. When the Allies took over and when they gave it back, there was only one rifle missing. Everything else was untouched. Amen to the good guys.
Well, yeah.
Jumping up now to 29 of 63. This restaurant was open 73 years before Christopher Columbus set sail for the New World. It opened in 1419.
That's 1419. Really
hard to believe. Yeah. And they're down in the lower right corner. There's our transplanted Aussie, Ken Curtin. He lives in France now. They only serve one thing here, basically, and you look to number 30 of 63, and there's Tom. Tom looks a little stricken because he was setting a new Shark Hunter's record for eating these Nuremberger sausages. They're little. You can see it then on his fork. They are tasty. They're yummy, but they are so incredibly rich. I can just manage 6 of them. That's it. Most people can't go more than 12 because you order them 6 at a time. He ordered 48. Because he wanted to beat the record. The record for shark hunters now is 42 of these things. And the deal is anybody who beats the record, I'll buy their dinner that night. And you can see by the look on Tom's face, that last sausage is going to be a bit of a challenge. But he got it done. He set the record of 43 now. So,
Monterey, that's a very safe bet. Who the hell's going to be able to eat dinner after doing that?
Right. When Steve Rea set the record at 42 20 years ago, after he finished eating 42 of these guys, he had a big ice cream sundae after that. But here, Tom didn't have anything to eat at all after that. I guess he had breakfast.
The only rule is you have to keep them down, right? You can't chuck them.
Well, we haven't run across that yet, so that's something we don't worry about. But Tom's already signed a board for next year.
Uh-huh.
He had such a good time. This was his first patrol he was on with us. He had such a great time, he signed a board for next year already.
Do tell, what did he have for dinner that night you had to pay for, Harry?
That was it, 43 of these sausages.
Got it. Nothing else. There was no dinner later on. This is in the daytime, I see.
Yeah, this
Tom
was
didn't
about
eat
four.
For, yeah, he didn't eat for the next 3 days.
No, he had a regular breakfast the next day. So, he was a good guy, too, and everybody was on this trip.
Is that a UFO on his shirt? What are we looking at there?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It looks like a disc, a flying craft of some kind. Right.
I don't remember. I didn't pay that much attention to it. Now, the next two we'll just zip past, because these were museums within walking distance of our hotel. We went to them. Number 31 of 63 is the Bavarian Army Museum. And the next one, 32 of 63, that's the Police Museum. Both of them are part of a big fortress situation, a beautiful garden, well-maintained. Mm-hmm. And so we spent a better part of a day there.
All right, and beautiful architecture, really nice.
Yeah. Nice. Somehow, 33 wound up being a duplicate of 28. But that's the von Stauffenberg Castle. I forgot to mention, Red Hans is the resident ghost. Every castle has to have a ghost. Mm-hmm. And way back hundreds of years ago, Red Hans, for whatever reason, killed his wife. And then, for whatever reason, I imagine remorse, he jumped off this tower and went splat on the courtyard below, and they hear him wandering through the castle every so often.
Hmm. Groaning, moaning like a ghost?
I don't know. He didn't show up when we were there, but then he wasn't listed on our tour, so he's not allowed.
Got it. Next up. Number 34.
34. That is the memorial on top of Kelstein Mountain, which is about 200 meters above where the eagle's nest is. We'll see that in a minute. It's really called a Kelstein House, which means a house on Kelstein Mountain, but we Americans call it the eagle's nest.
What else do you see in that photograph?
I was wondering if you'd notice that.
Well,
I don't know what that is.
It's chemtrails. It happens to be what's left of horizontal and vertical or whatever.
Okay,
it's making
it looks
a square.
Like a football, football field in the sky.
There were trails, and they went longer than that. They just eroded, and that was what was left, and it made a square. Interesting.
Yep. Anyhow, when you get to this memorial, you really got to want to be there, because you're climbing stairs another 200 meters up, and we're already, about a half a mile in the sky already. We're several thousand feet up. So the air's getting a little thin.
Okay. Number 35 is probably the world's most fascinating tourist attraction that never was.
Yeah, right. The Berghof, originally known as Haus Wachenfeld, owned by some guy named Wachenfeld, and Hitler used to rent it out, and then he liked it so much, when he went to power, he bought the place, and they added wings to it, etc. And then, for whatever reason, stupidity, I guess, Air Vice Marshal bomber Harris decided to bomb the place when there was only about 2 weeks left in the war. Hitler wasn't even there. They messed it up, as you'll see in...
Yeah.
Well, look at number 36. That's the famous great window in the parlor. That whole window just rolled down. It slid down in tracks and was wide open. When you're that high up in the mountains, chances of bugs and insects are pretty rare. They don't get up that high.
I didn't know that window disappeared like that. It went down.
Oh, yeah, it goes straight down. In, Goebbels' house outside of Berlin, he had two windows like this, and they still work. Because we were there some years ago, and again, the sign said, "Shark hunters welcome," you know, "Ein Gang verboten." And I pushed the button, and the windows went down in Goebbels' house. Here, there's no more window, there's no more house. Bomber Harris made a mess of it, and then once the U.S. Army moved out in 1995, gave it back to Bavaria, they just bulldozed everything.
Stupid.
Not very smart, but...
See the furniture in there? There's apparently might be a piano on the left, I can't tell. It looks like a front of a piano.
It appears to be a piano with the globe on it.
Right. And the chairs on the right... You know what happened to that furniture? American military officers, generals, whatever, they had it all shipped home, I'll bet.
I would imagine, yeah.
It was looted.
Yeah, well, geez, that's what happens in history anywhere when people lose a war. It ain't right, but that's what happens. Everything gets stolen. The men get killed. The women get turned into slaves of one type or another. And, you know, that's terrible. It's terrible, but that's the way it's been with wars from the beginning of time. So
we're stuck in a genetic loop of death and destruction. We're not making progress.
Kind of a Moebius band, if you know what that is. But the best thing is don't get into a war. But if you do, then the best thing is don't lose it.
Right.
Because if you lose a war, you are totally helpless.
In this case, the whole Western world suffered. Ask General Patton. He knew.
Yeah, Patton was a great man.
Looking at number 37, that's
37.
After Bomber Harris ordered it wrecked. They did not score a direct hit on the house.
Right.
That's damage from exterior impact and explosions.
Yeah, they tried to bomb the Eagle's Nest, too, but it's on such a narrow ridge at the top of the mountain, they couldn't hit it.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
All right, number 38. Look at that. There's your wing on the left in the foreground.
Yep.
You can look at the original picture and see that building was still intact and could have been completely restored as a museum or something. And that stupid Bavarian government decided that they had to take it down.
Right. Unfortunately... And then we go to 39. This is where the Berghof had stood. This is not part of the building. This is the retaining wall to keep the mountain from rolling down.
That's on the back side of it.
Right. And if you know where to look, there are little slit windows that go into the basement. And one of our members in years past, Kevin Wheatcroft, got in one of those windows and dropped down into the basement and went all through the basement. Kevin Wheatcroft is a very wealthy man. He made his money the old-fashioned way, waited till Dad died. And he is just enamored of the Third Reich. He's the guy, they say, he sleeps in Hitler's bed. Well, there was a hotel room that was just set aside for Hitler. And... when they were going to remodel the place or whatever, he bought the entire suite and had it moved over to his place in England. So when he joined us in 2019 for our tour, he came in a big Ford pickup truck with all the bells and whistles and lights and everything on it. And he and his wife came across in the Channel and joined us there.
Now, that's the retaining wall on the back.
Yes.
Okay. Anything?
Nothing. Nothing left of the
house. The foundations of the house, did they tear those out too?
No, I don't think so. And the famous great steps where he welcomed the former King of England and all right. sorts of important people, they're still there, but mm-hmm. they're covered up with dirt and there's stuff growing on them, so they could be brought back if, you know, just with right. a shovel. But I suspect the Bavarian police would be there before you get the second shovel full up.
Yeah, probably. Keep in mind, those of you who are regulars and understand the history of all this, that in Inalco, in Argentina, Hitler and Eva Braun arguably lived together there for 10 years, longer in any, I think that may have been the longest continuous residence that Hitler occupied since he was a child. 10 years
could
at Inalco.
Could have been.
Because he didn't live full time at the Berghof. No.
Right, right, because he had to be back and forth to Berlin. And he didn't like Berlin because it's a big city. And he preferred this area because it's beautiful mountains and just Bavaria is a beautiful, beautiful area. Berlin's a nice place, too, but it's a big city. You know, not. I spent 40 years living in Chicago, the first 40 years of my life, and now I'm down here in the backwoods of Florida. It's a hell of an improvement. It's quiet. It's peaceful. And I'm sure that's what he found back there and in Argentina as well. But that's another whole show.
Yeah. All right, number
40.
40.
That's the escape door to his bunker. And it's locked. Nobody is ever allowed in there except I got in there and I took pictures of it. Not on this trip, but I've got pictures on the website or in the file. I don't remember which. It's just a great big empty hallway with some rooms going off on both sides, but there's nothing in the rooms, nothing, not even a door jam. So, you know, and unfortunately, this is part of the bunker system under the Hotel Zum Türken, which was owned by my dear friend Ingrid Scharfenberg. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me, she unfortunately was clipped, to use a term from the Mustaches, but we won't get into who killed her, how or why. But anyhow, the place has been bought out by somebody anonymously. They've closed it, and the bunker system is also closed. It's the best bunker system remaining anywhere. And there, nobody is saying what's going to happen to the place. Is it going to reopen? Are they going to tear it down? What are they going to do? But they did say something about they were going to erase the dark history of the place. So, because the hotel is where Hitler's personal guard stayed when he was on the mountain, and also...
Well, that doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. And
doesn't
the switchboard
like a new,
was
new
there
coat
for
of paint.
Everybody on the mountaintop.
Right.
So I think it's a passing into the pages of history. Excuse me.
That was just behind and to the left of the Berghof residence that Hitler had. It was up the hill to the left, just about 100 yards away, 150, 200 maybe.
Yeah, the hotel. Yeah, the hotel from the Berghof. The right. bunker was down a bit of a hill. But the Berghof and the Hotel Zum Türken, you know, Tom Brady could throw a football from one to the other easily.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 41, Bormann's bunker.
Bormann's bunker. This is kind of across the road from the Zum Türken. We're standing on the Zum Türken property taking this photo.
Mm-hmm.
They all had bunkers and tunnel systems there that ran for miles. But Bormann hated Goering, and he made sure that his bunker system did not intersect with Goering's.
Oh,
you
come
know,
on.
Yeah, how stupid. But they're...
Kids. Kids games. All right, go ahead.
Their hatred of each other and everybody's rivalry helped destroy the Wehrmacht. Goering lorded it over Dönitz because there was a naval air arm, mm-hmm. but Goering popped up and said, if it flies, it's mine. And so Dönitz didn't get a lot of air, didn't get any of the air cover he needed for his submarines, and that hurt the effort overall, too. Stupid.
I don't know how you say it in German, but it's still stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Dummkopf.
Probably.
Something like
Number
that.
Number 42 is quite an interesting photograph, so tell us about that
one. Well,
it
sure is. This is the early days of Eagle's Nest, or Kelstein House. You see the house itself way up on the top, and then you see the tunnel here. You have to go in that tunnel for, I don't know how far, and then you get to the elevator, and the elevator goes all the way up. Now, this is all the way up the mountain, too. You got to come up a switchback, and we are in specially geared buses to go up there, and you're going up and up and up, and your ears are popping from the ground level where you get your on your bus, and it goes up here, way up in the sky. Then you get off and you walk into that tunnel and get on the elevator and go all the way to the top.
Straight
and it's
up.
Exactly the same today as it was back in those days.
Look at the next picture, yeah. 43, and you'll get an idea of the color of it. Beautiful.
Exactly.
Straight into that tunnel. And it's like an L. And you take the elevator straight up. They went through solid granite all the way
yep.
in and then straight up and built that on the top.
Yep. And
that was a present again, for Hitler on his birthday.
That's his 50th birthday, right. Bormann had it built for him. And, you know, some history says, oh, Hitler didn't like it for this reason or that, and he was only there twice. Horse feathers, he was there quite a bit.
Good to hear. Next
and
picture
Ava Brown
shows the...
Had, go ahead.
No, you.
Ava Brown had her own room downstairs of the main room, and she and
of the Kelstein house?
Yeah, Kelstein. Yeah, it's two stories.
Uh-huh.
And down in the lower level, there was a room for Ava Brown and the ladies to have their lunch. Also another room for the guards because they weren't allowed up on the upper floors.
Interesting.
So,
all right, look at the tunnel. Just the tunnel.
Number 44 is out of sequence.
44?
Yeah, 44 is out of sequence. That is a bunker complex, but it has nothing to do with Eagle's Nest. That's
because the tunnel at the Eagle's Nest is finished on the inside.
That's correct.
It's beautiful. You have pictures
yep.
of that. Send me a picture of that.
This one is a different tunnel we went into. This was under the Platterhof Hotel, which was later called the General Walker. And then once the U.S. Army moved out, in comes the Bavarian bulldozers, and that was gone. But the bunkers here still exist. Like I say, this is out of sequence.
I'll fix it. Send me a picture of the actual tunnel. I'll replace it.
Okay.
I'll have the webmaster do that. Next picture, we're moving right along. We got about 15 minutes. 45.
Mm-hmm.
There's
45.
A wonderful picture of the Kelstein house, the Eagle's Nest. That's what it
right.
looks like.
Shot from the memorial up above. And look
Got
at
it.
The panorama down below. You're way up in the sky there, and it just the view is magnificent, whatever way you look. And there's an outdoor restaurant there and also an indoor restaurant. And, of course, there's the obligatory souvenir store.
That's a hell of a birthday gift.
It's good
really?
To be the king, I guess.
Well, that shows real concern, too. That was not a light undertaking.
Right, and contrary to what the regular propaganda is, it was not built by slave labor. You don't give dynamite to slave laborers. These people were paid, and they were well-trained, expert rock workers, whatever, however you call them.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, but it It was built by skilled labor who got paid.
Okay, let's go back in history now. Photo number 46 shows you what it looked like back in the day. Look at the furnishings, big round table, kind of like a Knights of the Round Table. Keep that theme in mind. That was, the walls are curved, the timbers on the ceiling, beautiful woodwork. On the right is a spectacular fireplace. Tell us about that.
Right. That's all red Italian marble. And for the longest time, it was stated that this was a gift from Mussolini, which it was. But now they're saying, they think it might have been a gift from Mussolini. I think they're trying to erase history. But the fact is, it came from Il Duce. And they've got it walled off now, as you'll see in a later picture. Because people would be sitting on it and everything and taking pictures. Now you can't sit on it.
I wish I could make out that painting above it. I can't. But this is back in the late 30s, when the place was first given to Hitler. There are 12 chairs, as I can count, around
you
that Knights
that,
of the Round
12?
Table. Yeah.
12 was a very important number to the Third Reich, and a couple of issues back, our Sieg agent Nemo explained why 12 was important. We had two pages of explanations why the number 12 was important, not just 12 Knights of the Round Table, not just 12 Disciples of Christ, but umpty gazillion reasons. So, people can email at sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and ask about it, and we'll
there
answer.
If you're counting, there are three to the right in front of the fireplace. One, two, three there around that curve. It's kind of hard to see them, but they're there. So there are 12 chairs there.
Yep.
Knights of the Round Table.
Yep.
Now,
so then the next one.
This is a really, I found this one. This was really, I found all these old ones, and they're wild.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, this is number 47. That's Eva Braun, and I'm guessing that's her sister Gretel behind her. I don't know. And who the guy is standing, I don't recognize him either, but that's Eva Braun. That's a big fireplace, and they had a fire going in it, because that's the only way you heated places back then, is with fireplaces. And then we click on to number...
It doesn't look like Eva, but it is.
It is. It's number 48. This is a rare picture that you found.
Yeah, I found all
there's
these.
Hitler sitting there with Goebbels. And who the
right
little
in front
girl
of the fire.
Is... It might be Huldine, but I don't know, because Huldine was Goebbels' daughter, but she was fathered by Hitler. That's another whole story.
So there he is, sitting literally at the fireplace with Goebbels, and one of Goebbels' children, no doubt. There were six daughters, I think.
No, five daughters and one son, and then the older son that Magda had from a previous marriage. But the six kids was a boy and five girls.
So Goebbels had a pinstripe suit on. You can see that.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look at that. Go ahead.
Okay, next. Then the next one is 49. That's roped off now. And if you look closely, you can see the back of the fireplace. There's a couple of knights embossed there, plus the 1938, it says.
There's the Knights of the Round Table. And you see the steps, the big blocks in the front on the, I guess, the hearth. That's where they were sitting in that photo before, number 48. Right on that.
Yep.
Right there. Right there.
Yeah, famous place. And number 50, that's the way it looks now, because it's a big restaurant. Run by a restaurant down in the village, the Hofbrauhaus, which has not connected with the Hofbrauhaus in Munich. This is different. Excuse me. But it's jammed to the rafters when you come there and take a peek at number 51 and straight back, you see that little cluster of people? Ah, that's your souvenir stand. And there's all sorts of neat stuff to buy there. Then we went to a restaurant in the area.
Oh, let me say one other thing. If you go back and look at the picture from 1938 or 39, the black and white picture of the Kelstein House with the Knights of the Round Table setting there, all that setup is there. Look at the size of the rug underneath them. That's a huge Persian carpet or something.
Yeah.
Huge rug. That's big. Anyway, they went all out with everything.
Yeah, they did. Pretty well. Of course, it was for the number one guy, so of course they want to have everything perfect.
Well, they did. And all right, very good. And these
52.
Are all here for you to enjoy. We'll keep them up here. So.
Yep, 52. That's a restaurant we eat at, and probably I shouldn't say where it is because they have a picture of Hitler there in prominently displayed, and I don't think that would go over well.
Is that
well,
near the Kelstein House?
It's on a different mountain, but it's all within the same region.
I mean, I should maybe... is this picture out of sequence a little? I think it is. I should put it on the other side of the gun turret.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's your next picture, the number 53. Those are the foundations of the anti-aircraft guns up there. And again, there's that sign, Ein Gang Verboten, which means shark hunters welcome here, because you got to go over the safety fence, and you got to walk out there. And if you make a misstep, it's about 6,000 feet. When you're falling 6,000 feet, thinking maybe I should have been more careful. The guy in charge of all the defenses there was Colonel Bernhard Frank, who was also a member of Shark Hunters. And
fascinating.
Yeah. Prior to the war, he was professor of humanities in one of the universities, and then he was in charge of the security up on the Kelstein Mountain, the anti-aircraft guns, the smoke generators, etc.
See, there's in the top center of the picture, center left slightly, there's a bunker there. There's a hole. Is it probably for ammunition? Maybe? Maybe it went down in there. See that? There's a square hole there.
Yeah, I see it. I don't know the answer.
Next time,
I'll have to take a better look. And if I fall off the mountain, it's your fault, Rents.
No, you won't.
No, God's kept me alive so far. Okay, now we're down in Austria. Number 54. That's the
5 minutes
coming.
We got just enough time. Good.
Okay. We took a cruise on the lake. It's 20 or 25, 30 kilometers long. Beautiful cruise. I would say it's a three-hour cruise, but I don't want anybody looking for Gilligan and the skipper. number 55, that's Bianca. She's the deckhand. And look at that salute. You can tell she was never in the military. It's a terrible salute.
The deckhand, a likely story. Good story.
With the little finger out and the thumb sticking out. No, you're not supposed to salute that way.
She's having fun.
Number 56, you see, I've taken her under my wing, and I'm going to teach her how to salute.
I'll have nothing further to say.
That's on that, it's on that cruise boat. It's beautiful there. Next, who's really buried here? Number 57. Hermann Reif and his wife Cornelia. Notice I put a square there. Those are hinges. Hermann Reif was the SS officer in charge of taking care of Paula Hitler's grave. And when he and his wife died, they were buried on top of Paula Hitler. And so if you fold that little sign down, there's a lock holding it in place. If you fold it down, you'll find there's the indicator that this is where Paula Hitler is buried.
Older or younger?
Younger. She had been the queen of the Berghof until Eva Braun got there. Then they had a little shifting of the forces, I guess, and she wound up living in town, and Eva Braun was in charge of the, she was the queen of the Berghof. Okay.
Then she became queen of Inelco, right? All right.
Yeah, later on. Number 58. There's an American colonel who loved this area so much he wanted to be buried there after his death. So here I'm putting a flag on his grave. And Larry Kagan had his cell phone all loaded up. He played the national anthem while we veterans stood at attention, rendered the hand salute. Previous to this, we were in the only British war cemetery in Austria, and he played the final post, which is their version of taps. And again, we stood at attention with the hand salute. And finally, there's no photos of this, but we were at a place where after the war was over, a day or two or three, a group of French soldiers in American uniforms came upon a group of French soldiers in German uniforms. And, you know, why are you dressed, et cetera, et cetera. And the American uniform guys had weapons. The German uniform guys did not. There were 13 of the German uniform Frenchmen. And General Leclerc himself ordered that they be shot because they were wearing German uniforms. And that's what the war was over already. But the guys in the American uniforms shot them, shot 12 of them, not the 13th, because he had a high-ranking military dad. Shot him and just left the bodies lay there and walked off. About 3 days later, the American forces came by and found these bodies and took them to a church cemetery in town where they were buried properly. And so Larry was playing La Marseillaise, and we were again at attention, rendering the hand salute. Of course, we're all Nazis, according to the the people at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Doesn't look like we're doing anything Nazi there.
Were those people in the uniforms any special group?
Yeah, the one in with the German uniforms, that was the they were in the Charlemagne division.
Okay. Right.
So, let's see. Number 59, whose cottage was this? There was a cottage standing there right across from the Platterhof Hotel. Hitler and Rudolf Hess were staying at the hotel after they got out of Landsberg prison for trying to overthrow the Bavarian government. And there was a cottage here, and Hitler rented it, and they would come there in the daytime. They didn't stay there, apparently. But in the daytime, and he finished writing Mein Kampf in this little cottage. So it's called the Kampf House. And the guys from the left in the green shirt, that's Rich, with their back to us, that's Jeff. Mm-hmm. And looking at us with the blue denim jacket, that's Larry. And I don't know who's got their back to us over on the right side, but the guy in the blue jacket, that's Scott Lowry, Reverend Scott.
So that book is the second most popular book in modern history in the world.
In the world, ever. Yep. Second only to the Holy Bible.
Extraordinary. Remarkable. All right, and the next one, we've got Red Brick.
Yeah, that is the ruins of the building where the detonators were kept, and right down the hill, about 100 feet down the hill, was the building where the explosives were kept, you know, the shells and things. You mm-hmm. don't store the shells in the same building you store the detonators, or you could have a real problem. So this is all that's left of it. There's also the ruins of a huge, big theater hall there. And like I say, there's just way too many photos to post right now.
All right, number 61, coal bunkers.
Yes, this was very clever. Again, you know, Ein Gang verboten. There's a road up above, and the trucks would go along and dump coal into these bunkers. And then when somebody needed coal to heat their house, they'd back a truck in and open a scuttle and fill that truck and take it to the house.
Wow. All right, we have just enough time. I think we can sneak these last two in here. Castle on top of the mountain.
Right, that's the Castle of 16 Gates, also known as Hohenwerfer Castle. We go up there, and we had lunch in the hall where the knights used to have their meals.
Wow.
400 years ago.
Wow.
And it was never taken in combat. Of course not. You had to go through 16 fortified gates to get up there.
Is that some kind of a cog railway that goes up and down the hill?
There is now, yeah. Otherwise, you got to hike it all the way up, and that is a bitch. This thing, you get into a little car, and it runs you up there, and you get out.
Uh-huh. All right. Last picture. A stainless steel. Look at that treatment.
I don't think it's stainless steel, but I don't know what it is, because this thing flies. It's the only operating P-38 Lightning fighter in all of Europe.
Oh, it's polished aluminum, then. Okay.
Yeah. They have a Corsair in there. They have a B-25 bomber. Mm-hmm. And they fly them.
Mm.
When we were there last time, they had the Corsair just outside the glass, and we were watching them, the wings folded up as a carrier bird. Mm-hmm. And mechanics working on it, and then the pilot comes walking up carrying his helmet. He gets aboard, puts on his helmet, and then folds down the wing, and then you hear pakata, pakata, pakata as the engine's turning over, and then, boom, his 2,000 horsepower come to life. And he took off, and he joined this P-38 up about 1,000 feet up, and they were doing maneuvers.
Wow.
So we visit this place, too.
All right. In short, if you want to go, and we're all still here next year, you can go on this tour and see all of these things.
If we're all here.
Yeah, well, I
we'll
don't mean
here.
To be negative, but it's tough out there right now.
Yeah, just send an email to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and ask for information. There's no
make
obligation.
Make your plans now.
No, right.
Save your place. No worries. None.
Exactly. So anybody who wants to go now will just put their names down in pencil. Doesn't cost you anything until probably about next June or July.
All right.
For a deposit.
Thank you. You came through wonderfully. Go get some rest. Get over that cold. You didn't sound bad at all. You sound great. So,
well, thank you. I still have to go out in the cold. It's only about 50 degrees outside, and I have to take Asha for a walk.
All right. Well, get back and get in bed as soon as you can.
You betcha.
And, thanks, Harry.
Remind me if you need any of these other pictures or the video sent your way.
Yeah, please do, and send me the tunnel picture going to the elevator in the Kelstein project.
Roger that.
I'll fix that. Okay, thanks very much. That was great.
It's a lot of fun, like always.
Yeah, all right. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Roger that. Okay.
All right.
Good night.
And yes, good night, Harry. Admiral Harry Cooper and sharkhunters.com. All right, we've got to run. We'll come right back in just a few minutes.